title of today's message is Good News for Everyone. Now, I'm not recommending this sort of behavior. Let me just put this out here at the beginning, right? When I was younger in college, I had some friends. I didn't ever personally do this. And it's a true story. Scouts honor however many fingers you do for that. And so they thought it was funny when they'd go to their friend's house. They'd go in their friend's closets, their pantries, and they would cut off all of the food labels on the canned goods, which can be very tricky if you're not careful, because there is a very big difference between people food and dog food, without labels, it's very hard to tell the difference. I am under no way encouraging teenagers to do this. Just don't do it at my house. The labels make a big deal, right? You can tell what something is. You expect what something is going to be by the label. And if we're not careful, we see the labels that we put on ourselves, that our society, our culture puts on us, and we make decisions based off of that. But the beauty of this passage today, we see, is the gospel message cuts down labels. It pulls them all off. And we see that it's a gospel not for this type of people or that type of people, but it's a gospel that is for all people. And as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to introduce lost people to Jesus. So there's two main truths that I want to look at here today that help us in sharing the gospel. The first of all is understanding that the gospel is for all people. And the second truth is that you're the instrument that God wants to use. So look with me in Romans chapter 10, looking at verses 12 to 15, and we'll pray and get started. Read along. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone, you all say that with me? For everyone, I like that. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have never believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time to collectively worship you together. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in our lives today. We recognize, apart from your moving and your power, that we can do and accomplish nothing. So please help me to decrease, Lord, and for you to increase. Speak through me what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Father, I love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, we see grace for all. We see this in verses 12 through 13. Grace for all. Apostle Paul starts off, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. And there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. What this simply means are anybody that's not a Jew. And so there's a lot of people that fit into that category, not just these two particular people. He says there's no distinction between these two. But you have to understand that Jews made a big distinction between these two. That they were the chosen people of God. You know that, right? That God had called them, even though they were small, even though they were an insignificant people. God said, I'm going to make you into my people. And so they became God's people, and God used them, and God worked through them. They were supposed to be God's chosen vehicles. But as we know, looking at the Old Testament, the we see the rise and the fall of Israel, the rise and the fall of Israel, and God had created them to be his light to the nations, his light to all these Greeks, all these Gentiles. He made them to be that. But rarely did the Jewish people do that. So God chose them. He sent them, but most of the time they would not go. He sent them a Messiah. He sent them Jesus, but he was largely rejected by the Jewish people. So it's important to understand, when he says there is no distinction between these two, that a lot of the people that he's writing to would have really balked against that, that they thought there was a huge distinction between the two. Look what he says, "For the same Lord is Lord of all." See, Jews and non-Jews are all saved the same way. This is all related to salvation. Yes, there are very different cultural differences and practices and ethnicities. That's not what he's talking about here, but he's saying that they are all saved the same way. They are for the same Lord is Lord of all. It's important to understand, brothers and sisters in Christ, that Jesus is Lord of all, or he isn't Lord at all. Are you with me? Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And the reason why I spend time speaking of that, I know a lot of people think, well, you know, I've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but I didn't make him Lord of my life until later on in my life. And you never see that separation in the New Testament. I know a lot of Christians say that, but if Jesus Christ is your Savior, he is your Lord. If he's your Lord, he is your Savior. Those two things cannot be separated. They're never separated in the New Testament, and we cannot separate that. You either accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, or you don't accept him at all. He's your Savior, the one who saves you from your sins, but he is your Lord. You're asking him to rule your life. You cannot do one without the other. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. I just want you to peer into God's treasure chest with me for a minute. We peer into God's treasure chest and we see his grace, and we see his salvation and his mercy that's available to all who are willing to accept it. We see his forgiveness if we look a little further, and we look into God's treasure chest and we find his redemption, and we see love, joy, and peace. And I'm telling you, friends, there is no greater treasure, no greater treasure than what God can give. And many people, young and old, are seeking treasure in other places. I'm telling you, it does not satisfy. It is only the riches of God's grace, the riches that he bestows on us, that truly satisfy. Look at verse 13. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, Paul is quoting from an Old Testament passage in Joel in chapter 2, verse 32. And he's emphasized that salvation is for all people, all nations, all races, all backgrounds. Now, there are some theological camps that want to limit the grace that the cross had done, that Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection was limited to a certain few that God chose. I'm telling you, I reject that theology. I find that harmful in many ways. But God's grace, God's salvation is literally available for anybody who's willing to accept it. It's easy to buy into labels if we're not careful. You know, we have these boxes of cereal, and as a grown man, in my middle 30s, I still love cereal, maybe more than I've ever loved cereal before. And I don't like the adult cereal. I don't like Raisin Bran, man. I like the stuff with the little cartoon characters, and they're delicious, right? And And the thing is, it's always kind of strange to me because these boxes are so bright and beautiful, and they've got games and characters on them. But then you take them out, it's just this kind of plain Jane plastic bag that's not really all that impressive. And it's amazing how advertising works, because it's really not as appetizing when you pull it out of that and it's just in this ugly little plastic bag. Right? People didn't say right. They eat Raisin Bran, I guess. I don't know. That's good. Now, if we're not careful, here's the deal. As believers, we'll start falling for the packaging of other people. Say, man, look at that guy. He's bright and shiny. He's got it all together. He doesn't need Jesus, and you'd be wrong. And this person over here who maybe doesn't have a whole lot, and his package doesn't look all that nice, maybe he loves Jesus. Maybe there are all these different scenarios, like I said, our culture puts on us, and then we put on ourselves. But don't fall for the packaging. There's an old Southern gospel song that says, "We don't know who we have in the basket." I don't know if you've ever heard that song. But it's talking about Moses, and Moses was put in this little basket, right? And he's floated down the Nile, and the princess of Egypt finds him, and for all she knows, he's just another little Hebrew baby. But God knew who Moses was, and there's hardly a more significant human character apart from Jesus Christ in human history. But she didn't know that. A lot of other people didn't know it. And we don't know. We don't know how God is going to use people, how God's going to work in somebody's life. If we're not careful, we'll fall into our cultural norm and say, this type of person has this type of job, and so he should lead people, and this person doesn't, so that they shouldn't be have a position in church. And we get caught up in labels that the gospel completely splits down the middle. Is there anyone that you've concluded is beyond saving? Many people would. And that person's rough. Just rough around the edges, man. They want to do their own thing. They don't love the things of God. And surely a person like that couldn't trust Jesus. Well, then and you're putting barriers that the gospel does not have. Sometimes people are antagonistic to the gospel. You have a responsibility, at least in part, to share the gospel with them. Maybe somebody's been a loss for a long time. I baptized people in their 70s. I've seen people much older than that saved and following Jesus. Pride can keep us from reaching out to others. It's important as believers we understand that no one is beyond God's grace. As we've talked about, the grace of God is rich and abundant. You can't run out of God's grace. No one is beyond God's grace. Amen, church? No one is beyond saving. We share a gospel without limits. No matter their background, a person's greatest need is Jesus. So the CEO with private jets and the homeless man on the corners of every street in Tucson, you know what their greatest need is? The exact same thing. Jesus. This is the exact same need. The greatest need they have is Jesus Christ. Men and women are very different creatures. Amen. Men, amen. The depths of a woman's mind are unfathomable. They are different creatures. That's right. All the married men said amen, right? But you know what? A man and a woman's greatest need is the exact same thing. It's Jesus Christ. We all have the exact same needs. Whether you're a native or foreign-born, greatest need is Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, we'll put people in these labels that God doesn't put them in. I don't care what anybody's background is. They need Jesus. And I want to be used by God to share that message. Point number one is grace is for all. Point number two, that we are vehicles of that grace. Verses 14 through 15. Just go ahead and read along with me one more time. It says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Despite modern avenues and technology, we still have a responsibility to share as believers. In a military, you can have all the supplies that you need, all the food to feed the troops. But if you don't have a plan to distribute it, you're not going to be very successful, right? And so we can have this great gospel message, and we can hoard it up like trolls, but we have to have a plan to dispense that message to a world that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. It is good news. It's not a browbeating. It's the good news that you already are living in bad news. And the good news is Jesus can save you from that. See, throughout Romans, Paul's been presenting ways people aren't saved. He said here in Romans chapter 1, he says, look at the creation. It can point people to God, but it can't save them. In Romans chapter 9, so people try to save themselves by works and doing good things. And he says that that's fruitless. The law was never meant to save people. It was to show them that they needed saving. It can't save you. But in these verses, we see six key terms. But if we take them in reverse order, we see how the gospel message spreads and works. Those first are sent. This is what we every Sunday morning when we leave here, we're being sent and resent and resent out into a lost world that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are to preach the good news. The preaching does not mean that you have to be on a pulpit. I'd say most effective preaching is one-on-one with somebody in a car or an individual conversation somewhere. Preaching doesn't mean from the pulpit. Preaching simply means sharing the good news. And people hear that good news, and then they believe, and they call, and they're saved, and we praise God when that happens. Amen, church? I loved hearing Steve's prayer today. He's a person who has been saved barely longer than a year, and he's up here, and God had worked in Steve's life when he's praying for the offering, and Steve and his wife got saved. They got saved. They were going to hell, but God saved them. And God used you in that process. And boy, that fires me up. Don't lose sight of that. That God loves saving sinners. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now this is a quotation also. This was originally applied to those who shared the news that Israel would soon be free from captivity. We share the same message. We share the same message of freedom. That people can be set free from sin and Satan and self. That God has died on the cross for them so that they could be saved from that. That they don't have to be punished and live apart from God in this life and the next because of their sin. We have a message of freedom that God frees you from that sin. It doesn't have to rule you. You can rule it. We have that same message. I hope you understand this, church, that God has no plan B. Are you with me, church? God has plan A. Reach the nations with my people. That's what God's plan has always been. God doesn't have, and if they don't do a good job with it, boom, boom, boom. Oh, I've got one plan, God said. I am to reach people with the good news, and they are to reach people with the good news. That's God's plan. God wants to use you in that process. In 1925, there was a terrible epidemic of diphtheria in Nome, Alaska. The children in particular were susceptible to this disease, and it was about to become a very dangerous situation. Planes couldn't come. It was too cold in Alaska. We can relate to that in Tucson, Arizona, right? 70 degrees out. So cold, a plane couldn't fly there. So cold, a train couldn't get close enough. So you might know the story. What happened? They end up sending a dog sled. They end up sending Balto, the little dog, which is a real story of a Siberian husky who went on some of the leg of the trip, and they brought this life-changing, life-saving medicine to the city, to the town of Nome, Alaska. The medicine heals the body, but the gospel heals the soul. Balto didn't really save anybody, did he? It was the medicine that did all the saving. Balto, the Siberian husky, was simply a conduit of God's grace. And friend, the conduit of God's grace can be you. The conduit that God wants to be for His grace is you. You and I can't save anybody, not even a little bit. God does all the saving, but what we can do is we can be that pipeline. We can flow from God's grace to our heart, to their heart, and we can be a conduit of God's grace so they can be saved. And God wants to use you in that. Even with reluctant servants, God has been sending out His message of salvation. Jonah was a reluctant servant, if ever there was one. God said, go. Jonah said, no. God said, this way. Jonah said, that way. But you know what? With some prodding, God used Jonah and saved many souls. If you are a reluctant servant, you are in good company. See, God has placed the responsibility of sharing the gospel on our shoulders. There is no replacement for a friend or a loved one reaching the lost. And I hope that you can hear this. We're almost done. One more illustration and we're out of here. But there is no replacement. There is no replacement for a friend and a loved one sharing the gospel and inviting someone to church. Statistics bear that out over and over and over again. Now, we're going to do events. We're going to train people. We're going to have people come here. We're going to go out there. We're going to do events and share the gospel with people. And hopefully we'll see some fruit with God's help. I'm telling you, there's no excuse. There is nothing better when you, a loving neighbor, loving son, daughter, and friend, when you say, hey man, I want to talk to you about your spiritual condition. I'm telling you, there is no greater tool in the hand of God than the person spirit-filled, loving his brother and sister, his friend, co-worker. You understand that, church? That's not just preaching. I'm talking about statistics bear that out over and over again. If our church was doing this all the time, we would never have to do an event again. We'd have about 12 different services. It's a powerful tool. Do not underestimate that. I want to illustrate this just a little bit. I don't know what person I'm going to drag up here, but I'm going to drag somebody. I'll drag my wife because she knows. All right, come on up here, babe. Now don't grab any guests. We won't want to scare anybody away right now, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to grab one person and bring them up here, and then I'm going to grab one person. We'll do it at the same time. So Tom, come on up here, bro. Come up here. You're looking good. Looking good. Okay. All right, now stand right here. Okay. Now I'm going to, you stay here. You don't move at all, okay? Now I'm going to grab one person, and I want both of you to grab somebody. Sam, come on up here, man. Looking good. Looking good. Looking good. Looking good. Let's do it this century. We got some younger people we can pick up here, you know. I mean, we got some younger ones this crowd. You know? So you guys stay here. I want everybody from that room to grab one person. You don't move. Heather, come on. I hope that at least illustrates the point. It doesn't take long for this to get really lopsided. There are a lot of people, man, hey, I'll let the pastor do the preaching. We pay him to share the gospel. I'm telling you, that's a That's a small church. That's an ineffective church. And I like you guys. I mean, don't get me wrong. You guys, you can all go sit back down. You can all sit back down. But I'm telling you, it's a powerful church. It's a powerful tool in the hand of God when Christians, normal everyday Christians, love their friends and families and coworkers enough to share the gospel, to share the truth with them. It is powerfully effective. True truths help with gospel sharing for all people, and you're that instrument. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's word. My prayer is that we see as God sees. That's probably something I use in my invitations a lot, but it's a prayer that I pray for myself a lot. That we'll see people as God sees them. Doesn't matter about their labels, rich or poor, whatever their background is, it's insignificant. That we'll see people as God sees them. People who know Jesus, people who don't know him. Encouraging this invitation time to pray that prayer in sincerity. And encourage you, brothers and sisters, to share with all people. Not people like you. You can share that. There are people like you. There are people not like you. There are people where you live and where you don't live. Share with all. Ask God to help you reach the lost people. Man, if you pray that prayer in sincerity, say, God, use me this week, not next month, not just this year, but this week, please bring people into my path where I can share the gospel. I don't have to change them. I don't have to save them. I just have to share. Would you pray that prayer? And would you be obedient to the Lord? Friend, do you know Jesus? You know Jesus. You know that Jesus loves you. That God loves you. Some people say, man, God, I've done too many bad things. I've done too many evil things. I just feel shame before God. How could he love me? But he says he loves you. He loves us, not the cleaned up version of ourselves. He loves us for who we really are. So much so that Jesus came and he died on a cross for you and for me. Took all of our sins upon him. He was punished in our place. And by trusting that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, asking him to forgive us and to make us right with God by turning from our sin, you can become a Christian. God loves you. You need to know that. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul is going to hell, separated from God, separated from his goodness. Don't leave here unsure of where you'll spend eternity. Young person, you're not promised tomorrow. I've been to a lot of funerals with a lot of young people. Don't leave here unsure of where you will go when you die. Trust Jesus today. However God is working in your heart, you need to be baptized, or you want to join the church, or you want to trust Jesus. When we stand up and sing, I'll be up here, and several other prayer team people will be up here. Pray with you. But however God is leading, please be obedient to follow him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great love, that you have bestowed riches upon us. Your grace and your mercy is unfathomable. That you love us, not perfect versions that we can clean up for ourselves on Sunday mornings for an hour, but you love us for who we really are. And I thank you for that. God, would you do a work in this church? Would you do a work in my life? God, that we would reach people in Tucson for Jesus. God, would you bring people into our paths this week? Give us the boldness and the courage to share with all people. Please use us. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you today, God, that they would give their lives to you. They would trust you as their Savior. They would stop gambling on their future and recognize that you love them. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name.